are back on Talk Back. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
I'm Rick Van Wickler.
And we have with us today Nick Ryder, who is a candidate for city council. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am 22. I have lived
Nobody's 22. Go ahead.
Remember that?
I've lived in Keene my whole life. I grew up going to the Keene public schools, Franklin Elementary School, Keene Middle School, Keene High School, graduated from Keene High School in 2005. And since then have spent some time working around in local businesses, things like that. Started my own small video production business, which we just got through the busy wedding season, so it's nice to have a break from that.
Great.
But that's basically what I've been doing since high school graduation.
Okay.
And now I am running for city council.
And why are you doing that?
I want to give the citizens of Keene a different choice as far as someone who's going to have slightly different views than I think the councilors that are currently on city council.
Okay, lay them on me.
Well, I lean towards smaller government every issue, every time, and I want to look for the ways to minimize the money the city has to take from its citizens.
Okay.
In order to follow a constitutional government rather than this. This government has grown to, grasp. What I'm trying to say, it's gone on to provide services that are not intended for in the Constitution, I think.
Right. Okay.
Such as public good things. And to me, that's a redistribution of wealth, and it's really not called for as far as government's concerned.
Okay. So that may answer my next question. How do you think local government can be more efficient?
To be more efficient, I would say you need to get rid of a lot of the things that government shouldn't be doing, which is a lot of licensing. It bogs down the system. A lot of times licenses give people a false sense of security. For example, food safety licenses. If you're going to license someone to sell hot dogs downtown, that license is not going to keep that person from messing up a hot dog, undercooking it, anything like that. And it's not protecting people, really. It is just, I think, a revenue generation for the system.
But that's exactly what it is. It's revenue generation, because the more you can get from the people who benefit from paying that fee, the hot dog vendor pays a fee to be a hot dog vendor,
right,
the less I have to pay in taxes.
Well, shouldn't he have the freedom?
Since New Hampshire is a property tax state.
Shouldn't he and you both have the freedom to sell hot dogs downtown without paying a fee?
Well, the other thing is, when you walk down Main Street in Keene, you always hear how nice it is and how beautiful it is and how great it looks. That takes money. You know, it takes money to have a community that's a nice community for people, and you have to have revenue opportunities in different places. As Cynthia says, if you keep the only burden falls on the taxpayer, we'd probably have dirt streets everywhere, right? I mean, things wouldn't look nice.
You can go back to that.
Yeah, it's an option.
So what changes would you like to see in the city budget?
Have you read the whole city budget?
I've tried.
I looked through it. It is quite long, and a lot of the items you see on there, you don't really know what they're for.
It's intimidating, isn't it? I mean, to a newcomer, the city budget is intimidating.
Absolutely.
Because I've been there 18 years, and it's intimidating to me.
What is the bottom line for the city budget, City of Keene, for those that don't know?
I think it's proposed to be $21
million. Something like that. I should know this, but...
Okay. That's a fair amount of change.
Well, first, I do want to commend a couple things. I know this is a controversial topic, but I think the cut to the Pumpkin Festival funding was really the right thing to do. The Pumpkin Festival I love it, but it's a private organization, as are a lot of the things that the city supports, such as the Community Kitchen, the Southwestern Community Services, I think is their name.
Right.
All these private organizations really, in my ideal world, would be funded completely voluntarily without the support of the city.
Ideal world, they would be.
Yeah. Do you think that if we did it that way, there might be more philanthropy? That people somehow assume that because the government's going to take care of it, I don't have to give my money to it, so it's going to be sustained? I mean, is that where you're coming from?
I think the numbers show that private organizations turn far more money around than city government does as far as giving back to the people.
I see.
So you take less money from people. I think there are a lot of people that will give to charity, and I know I do. I have it taken out of my paycheck every week, so I give to the United Way, and they therefore redistribute my money to a whole bunch of private organizations, and that's voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had many discussions about the community kitchen. By giving to the community kitchen and helping them to be bigger and serve more people, it saves the city money, because that way people don't come to the human services department asking for assistance with food and things like that.
I certainly agree. The community kitchen is one of the best private charities that we give to.
Right.
They do a lot of things. Even when the funding is low, they seem to find a way to give money or to give food out to the community. So I think they're a really good place to put the money when we are still giving money to charity.
Is there an example of something that the city of Keene gives money to that you would recommend as a councilman they not?
They recently voted to give $5,000 to a food co-op study, which mm-hmm. I would not have done. That's, again, a private organization that shouldn't be asking the city for funding to, you know, fund their hobby, job, or whatever that's going to be.
I see.
Okay. What changes would you like to see in the city itself? What changes? If you could change something.
What changes? I think I already went over. I think a lot of private property ordinances need to be looked at and maybe repealed as far as housing standards.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are going to say, but that brings down the value of my property if the ones around me are throwing couches on their lawn. But I think the answer to that would be gated neighborhoods and housing associations, where everyone in the association agrees to uphold their property to certain standards. And I think the ability to do on your property whatever you want, as long as you're not hurting anyone else, is really fundamental to freedom.
Or not do what you want, like mowing the lawn?
Correct.
Okay.
Although I would mow my lawn because I like to go out and play in it.
Right. and you like it to be attractive, right? How do you think government could be more efficient?
Well, I answered this question before. If we get rid of licensing and a lot of the boards, zoning board, or not get rid of it, but, you know, trim it down to an aspect that we don't have to micromanage every property that's coming in here. I read some of the ordinances regarding driveways, and you've got to get approval to build a driveway on your house that'll connect to the road. This is a lot of things that don't need to go through boards. I think there should be a case-by-case basis. If someone has a complaint about someone else, you know, intruding on their property accidentally or whatever, we can work that out through courts or whatever. But the ability, again, to do on your property what you want and expand in whatever way you feel desirable is essential to freedom and should be allowed.
Okay. If you're elected, do you have any idea about which committee you'd like to be on?
I've thought about that. I think the Planning, Licensing, and Development Committee looks good, because then we can, you know, approve those licenses quickly and or maybe even trim down the process to get a license or even eliminate it.
As chair of the Finance Committee, should I be offended?
No, of course not.
I'd join you there, too, if you wanted.
Sure. Everybody that I've ever known who's run for any kind of office always ponders early on what their chances are. What do you think your chances are?
Let's say, I'll say an optimistic 50%.
Great. Uh-huh. And you honestly believe that?
Sure.
Oh, right. Great.
There are 7 people running, I believe, right now for 5 seats.
I think it's 8. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, 8. Right. It's 8 now. It was 9. Then it was 8. Okay. And so you'll be at all the polls on Election Day.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. With your, we do have a phone call, 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. It sounds to me like Nick is part of the Free State group. Is that true, Nick?
Like I said, I've lived here my whole life, so it depends what you define as the Free State group. Do I have friends that have moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State project? Yes, but okay. I have not signed their pledge or anything because I've lived here forever.
Okay, well, no, but that's different. Do you espouse their same beliefs, though, that less government actually means pretty much eventually no government? And how do you feel about police departments and fire departments?
Fire departments are great for stopping fires. Police departments, I think, I've tried to keep up on what the Keene police do. They break up fights, they break up rowdy groups, things like that. But what I don't like about police departments is when they go fishing for nonviolent people who have, who may have in possession something that is deemed illegal. I don't like it when they do that.
Do you have a problem though if the police see someone that's doing something that is, it's a currently a law and they're breaking the law, to go over and to ask people to either, you know, stop doing what they're doing, and if they don't, if they resist it, you have a problem with them then having to deal with that and arresting them?
If those people that you're saying are doing something illegal are not hurting anyone around them, I don't think they should be bothered.
Okay. Do you feel the same as the Free Staters? I've heard them say on the radio that police are bullies, that they use
force
tactics. Yeah, force. Pretty much that you know, that they pretty much have said that the police are like gangsters with guns.
I've been a victim of police bullying. Not in Keene, I might say. This was, I think it's worse in Massachusetts. I think it's worse further east. I think the Keene police are very nice, especially that they know our group exists. They're really respectful about it. But yes, police do use their force to intimidate people, to fish for things that are illegal, to and look for reasons to arrest people.
Well, okay. So basically then, even though, because you've lived here, you can't necessarily say you didn't sign a contract to come here to the state. You do want more Free Staters to come here so that your feelings and their feelings can basically take over the city of Keene.
I do not want to take over your life. That's the point of the Free State Project and the people who espouse those beliefs, is they don't want to deal with your life, and you should have the right to do on your property what you like, without a government coming in and telling you what to do.
But if my house is next to somebody's house that believes that there are no rules and regulations, so that you can put in a driveway and it can be too close to my side of the property, or you can put in, if you want, you can urinate on your front lawn because it's your property.
Well, what would be the problem with a driveway that's too close to
of
your property?
Fine. Well, first of all, I think that there has to be, you know, certain rules and regulations, but okay, fine, let's skip that one. You decide that you want to have a party, and instead of having people go into your house, they can just urinate on the front lawn, and that's fine with you, because it's your property. Or they can go around naked on your front lawn, because that's fine with you. But, you know, or you decide that you want to park five cars that are junk cars on the front property, you know, right next to my house. I have a problem with that, but apparently you don't.
Well, let's let him answer. Thank you very much for calling.
I do understand the concerns, definitely. But again, property rights should be absolute. I don't see where it's the government's role to come in and tell people what to do on their property. And the answer for this nice woman is to either make a contract with her neighbors that they're not going to sell their house to some sort of rowdy college group, or, you know, if she and her neighbors all have similar feelings that, hey, we want to keep our neighborhood nice and clean, we're going to make a contract with each other that says we're not going to park junk cars on our yard. We're not going to walk around naked in our lawn. And that's the answer, is private contracts with people who share the same beliefs. And there are a lot of people that share these beliefs of clean neighborhoods.
357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. I just want to say I am so happy to hear, I am so refreshed to hear what this young man is speaking about. I'm not lazy, and I don't think that I need to depend on government for everything. The behemoth that is the city of Keene and the people, incidentally, the behemoth, the thugs that are the city of Keene.
Thanks,
the same
caller,
day they,
we're out of time.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
They're kicking me off.
No, we're not kicking you off. We only give you 15 minutes. We give everybody 15.
Thank you very much
for being here.
Good luck.
Thank
you.
Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Okay. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Your guest is still there that's running for the council. Is that correct?
No, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't get in time. I thought it was interesting, and it's still, maybe it's a poignant fact, but, you know, he was talking about driveways and you know, and funding and permitting and such. And yes, on one hand, it does raise money, but it also is there to protect the public safety as well as the individual safety. And the idea in a driveway, if you're a driveway on a straight road with no hills or dips, so the visibility is good in both directions, and you want to put a driveway in, and you don't invade your neighbor's setbacks, I suppose you don't really have to go through a permitting process. But unfortunately, that isn't the situation all the time. If you live on top of a hill with a bend in the road, so you now on one side or the other side of that hill, you can't see, then you need to have someone to say, listen, you're creating a bad situation if you put your driveway at this point. If you move the driveway 100 feet one way or the other, you're not creating a blind driveway situation, which endangers both you and the general public. And you need some way of enforcing that. And that's part of what that permitting process does.
Right.
So, you know, I understand his feelings, you know, that laws need to be there to protect individuals and the public. But obviously he hasn't thought this thing all the way through. And what happens is that, you know, 40 years ago we had 6 volumes of state laws on our shelves. We now have 40 because we are in a more complex environment.
Oh, I know. It's getting more complex by the minute.
Absolutely. I mean, 40 years ago, nobody was thinking about the Internet and all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's created a whole other section of problems.
That's true.
I mean, so I understand where this guy's coming from, and it'd be nice to be able to turn the clock back to a simpler time, but unfortunately, that option's gone.
It is. Thank you so much for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi, I wish Nick was still on. It would be nice if he had a little bit more time, because it's refreshing to hear someone who's running for city council that doesn't want to increase the size of government actually wants to reduce
it. We give him more time, we got to give everybody more time.
So. Oh, but the other ones, I just hear the same thing over and over again, and it's been so refreshing to hear someone say, I actually want to reduce the size of government and have people be neighbors to each other instead of calling the police if there's a problem or saying, this is enforced by the code of law, when really, it's simplest going and talking to your neighbor. I mean, most people are good people and want to be good neighbors to each other. Threatening them with the law and all this other stuff isn't really the way to make good neighbors. And I think that most things could be done voluntarily, and I just wish that I could hear a little bit more. It's great to actually hear someone who wants to reduce government and turn people into interacting voluntarily when they have a problem rather than threatening them with government.
Well, if he wins and becomes the counselor, we'll have him on as a co-host. How's that?
All right.
Okay. Thank you. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. Hi.
Hey. I just wanted to know, let you guys know, that when I was at the... I actually attended a meeting when the co-op was funded, and it excited me because we needed that co-op. And I remember seeing you there, and I think it was you, someone pointed you out, and you were smiling there when the co-op was funded, and you were, and I just thought it was a great thing for the city of Keene. And when there was people that, I mean, it was funded by the people that, I guess, were supposedly losing their homes because they weren't paying property taxes, and they were being, I guess, parasitic, because we actually need those people to be funding our projects and our co-ops and stuff. And we can't have them living as, well, I guess, freeloaders in the city of Keene.
What? I don't understand what you're saying, but we didn't fund the co-op. We simply funded a study to see if a co-op would be successful or had a chance of being successful in the city of Keene. So, all right. Thank you very much. 357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Ah, hello.
Hi.
Hey there. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to mention that previous caller who had said that you need permits and other such mechanisms to achieve less conflict when it comes to the management of property, essentially he should really be dealing with his neighbors himself, I would say, because we actually have a system that creates more conflict through all of its regulations in imposing a unified system of rules on everybody in the city, even when different neighborhoods would have different standards if they were just left to their own devices.
Well, don't you think that most people do deal with their neighbors? I mean, you know, if I don't have a problem with, I only have one neighbor, but I don't have a problem, I mean, one neighbor right next door. I don't have a problem with that neighbor, but if I did, I would go over and say, you know, this is driving me crazy, and,
well, yeah.
You know, could we get something done about it.
Yes, I think people do deal with their neighbors. I certainly try to do that. But I've just heard a lot of stories over time about people who have just jumped directly to calling in the force of government. But I was also thinking that it's the government itself, the people in it, of course. There is no entity that is the government. They actually provoke conflict by roving around looking for violations of their own standards, even when they're not violations of the standards within the smaller communities in Keene.
So what happens when talks fail? I mean, if you have a dispute with your neighbor and you try to work it out as you propose and you stalemate, what do you do now? I mean, who's right and who's wrong? It seems to me there needs to be some sort of regulation that would help determine who's right and who's wrong. I mean, I can sympathize with a previous caller this morning who talked about junkyards next door, because that actually happened to me, you know, in the state. I owned a beautiful piece of real estate that I cared a lot about, put a lot of money into taking care of it, wanted it to look wonderful, and I had to drive by a junkyard, which offended me. And no matter what all of the neighbors could do with respect to this particular person, they felt it was their right, that it was their property to do what they wanted, when in fact there was a statute that said you can't. You know, if you have a certain amount of vehicles that are not registered on your property, that means that it's a junkyard by definition. If you have a junkyard, you're then supposed to apply to have a junkyard, and then you have to build a fence so that it's not offensive and not dangerous. There was another caller who said, you know, public safety is an issue with some of these things. And that all makes sense. You know, we are a society and a people who come together. We elect different people that we think are educated, articulate, and make good decisions, hopefully, I emphasize, for the greater good. And that way, when we get stalemated on issues like this, we have somewhere to turn that says this is what the appropriate thing to do is. And that's why these regulations are necessary.
Okay, thank you very much. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I am really concerned about the image that Keene is giving by having these people at 4:20 in the afternoon down at Christina Square. And I think it was started by the city council itself by voting in favor of reducing the amount of penalties for marijuana and for medical marijuana. I have little concept. I'm not too sure how I feel on the medical marijuana, but I don't feel people should be driving and smoking.
The council, first of all, I think there's a lot of misinformation about what the council actually voted for. All they were voting for was to send a resolution, if they were voting on whether to send a resolution to their state legislators to ask them to be more or to encourage them to either vote for medical marijuana. There's going to be a revote coming up and over the governor's veto, to encourage that, or to encourage them to make marijuana not a crime, but not a misdemeanor, but a violation. Or is it the other way around? So that it would be a smaller, in other words, they would just pay a small fine like you would if you had an open container or something. It was not changing any law in the city or the state. It's the same as it is. And they decided that it was 7-7, and the mayor broke the tie with a no vote, so that medical marijuana was off the table as far as sending a resolution to the state. And the other one, to decriminalize it, or to send a resolution suggesting that it be decriminalized, was voted, I think, 9-5. They were in favor.
And but I still think it's indicating that you're inviting this type of people to come and participate on afternoons at the city. And I think it gives us a very bad outlook for the whole state. I mean, it's on the union leader, it's in the Sentinel, it's in WMUR, and they're all getting a bad opinion of what Keene is.
I agree with you absolutely with this, but I will tell you that I think the council, had they voted unanimously to pass this, and it had simply gone on, they'd done the resolution, and it was done with, I don't think these people would be in the common, because they wouldn't be getting any attention.
I appreciate your point of view, caller, but I'm not necessarily, I don't think that I agree. I don't think that what the Keene City Council did in any way prompted what's going on at the square. I think with or without whatever the City Council is doing, those group of citizens are going to do what they feel to be right and what they feel to be progressive. I do not think that they are under the control or the influence of the Keene City Council. So I would beg to differ with you on that point. As far as giving our community a bad insight or a bad purview with the rest of the state or New England or the country, I don't agree with that either.
It's the news story of the hour.
You know,
it'll go.
I agree with Fred Parcells. You know, we have always been a progressive community. His position in coming out and doing what he did, I'm sure he did not do without a lot of thought, responsible thought at that, and would not do anything to jeopardize the wonderful reputation that our community has. But, caller, believe me, the people at the town square are not influenced by the actions of the city council.
Right. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia and Richard. It's Sam. Hey, I just would like to remind you guys or point out here that when you talk about these regulations and rules and laws and stuff that are necessary to keep our community safe, what you're really talking about is a justification or a reason for you to use violence against your friends and neighbors. And, Richard, you posed the question, what would happen if we didn't have these laws to force people to do things the way you want them to? Well, gee, we might have to live in a world where when people had disputes, they had to come to some kind of amicable solution, you know, without resorting to violence. Boy, what a horrible world that would be.
Well, the only thing is, what if you can't come to an amicable solution?
Well, you know,
then you get to keep trying. What you're saying is, well, we tried, so now it's time for violence. Let's solve problems through violence, rather than actually, if you found a way to make that person happy, whoever was doing, you know, whatever it is that created the dispute, to find a way to make them happy. There is something that you could do that could make them happy.
Not everybody is willing, as you might be, to help somebody become happy. Some people are just going to dig their heels in. And if we had a society in a utopia as you envision it, where there's
I don't envision a utopia.
Well, hang on, where there's no regulation, and there's no law enforcement intervention, that kind of environment does not do away with violent behavior or a propensity for violent behavior. So without that, without those boundaries, if you know your neighbor doesn't like you for whatever particular reason that in your world is unregulated, and he comes over and disposes of your body, and there's no boundary or regulation to deal with that, I mean, that's the kind of thing that it seems to me that you're proposing.
Well,
and it just doesn't seem possible.
There you're confusing laws and regulations actual harm where somebody is being injured. And it's easy to jump to the extreme.
Not everybody is as kind as you are, Sam. That's the thing. Not everybody is as nice as you are. You might be the kind of neighbor that we can talk to, that we can negotiate, we can work things out, and that's great. But not everybody in the country or the world is like that. There are some people that would just rather cut you up into pieces and bury you.
And
your view of not having any law enforcement intervention or rules or regulations means that nobody would care where your body is.
Right.
Okay, well, you know, I guess you guys want to live in this more violent world by showing that the answer to any problem when you have a dispute with somebody is to get the guys with the bigger guns to come and force the other person to do it the way you think is right.
Sam, I don't live in a violent world. You know, I'm the superintendent.
Really?
Have you watched
the G20 protests?
Listen.
There are police with batons and chanting and big tanks rolling around in the streets. They're declaring martial law and You must leave. This is unlawful organization, and you better get out of here or we're going to hurt you.
To suggest that we would have global peace is such a wonderful idea, and we've had it for years and years and years. And, you know, John Lennon helped us think that somehow it might be possible. I'm not sure it is possible in this lifetime, but with respect to living in Keene, you know, we're a great community. We're cooperative people. We're progressive people, and I really wish you luck in getting to a life that you think is possible. I'm just not sure that it is.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah. I got two trains of thought here. If marijuana is still against the law, they should be enforced in my book.
Sir, would you turn your radio down, please?
Yeah, I think they should be enforcing it on that issue. And on the free stages, I think they ought to get themselves an island somewhere.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Didn't Sam himself prove that it probably doesn't work in most cases because you guys were engaged in a conversation and he wouldn't make any consensus to make you happy? He just kept arguing his point.
Well.
Okay.
That's what we know Sam to be and what Sam to do. And it's Sam's calling, I guess.
Exactly. But what happens when that's you and your neighbor?
Well, that was
as you pointed out.
Well, that was my point. You know, Sam seems to think that, you know, we could talk this out and end it with a group hug. And what I'm saying is that's just not reality. You know, some people, you know, as nice as Sam is and as hard as he tries, I've known a lot of people in New Hampshire, and I've lived my whole life in New Hampshire, that would just as soon make him disappear as negotiate with him or listen to his group hug stuff. So
I'd like him to point to one place in history where this has worked.
Well, ideally, if the world was perfect, that's the way the world would work.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. Point to one place on the globe where this has worked.
But people are people, and it just, you know,
all right,
you may have 10 good ones and one bad apple, and that's all
that's
it
right.
takes.
Thank you, caller, very much for calling in. We appreciate that.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how's everybody this morning?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. How are you?
Too cold.
Oh, just wonderful. Just wonderful. I think the free stater or whatever they are have caused more problems than they're worth. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I don't know
opinion.
About than they're worth, but I think that's their goal, well, is to create
that's
awareness.
Absolutely right. There are rules in this world.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not a perfect person. And over the years, I'm sure I broke many rules. But there are rules, and there are people to oversee people that don't do the right thing.
Right.
But do you know
what? I was raised that way, and I'm sure both of you have that.
Yes.
And let's get on to more important things to decide who's going to smoke what.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, you know, these are citizens, and they're exercising their right to put forth their opinions and to peaceably assemble and do all the things, and they're, you know, literally living by means of the Constitution. And what's wrong with that, really? My position, you know, on this, even though I don't agree with a lot of the things that they do and the way that they do it, you know, they've always been kind people. I've never, well, with the exception of some, you know, issues out at the jail, they've been good. But, you know, here's how I see the group and how they fit into my world, okay? When I graduated high school, I had a caption that I put under my photo that was by Voltaire, the French philosopher, that said, "I disagree with what you say, but I will fight to my death for your right to say it." And I've got a lot of people who have served in the military in this country as very, very dear friends. I've given 26 years of my life to that. And when we proudly, and I emphasize proudly, take the oath to protect the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, to our death, to protect the freedoms of what these people are doing, even though a lot of us may not disagree with it, they are exercising the very right that people like me are willing to give our life for. And I enjoy the fact that they have the opportunity to do that. So what if I don't disagree with them?
Right.
Let them have their say.
Right. I feel the same way. And as I said, you know, ideally it would be fine, but it's got to be a final resolution when your neighbor insists on throwing rocks through your window
of
and
course.
Won't stop no matter how much you talk to him. There's got to be a way to stop it.
Of course.
So I think that's 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Yes, I just wanted to address a point that Richard had made before about regulation and how it was necessary to essentially keep people from sorting out those problems on their own in an extrajudicial setting. And I would submit that for the first 200 years that Keene was a community from the time it was settled up until the adoption of zoning, and I don't know the exact date when a zoning plan was implemented, there it was a free-for-all,
mm-hmm.
but people weren't cutting each other up over construction issues. So, I mean, if people are doubtful of the idea that people could resolve those kinds of issues on their own, I would point out that that worked in Keene for a couple of centuries before certain people in city government decided that, you know, they needed to tell people how to build driveways and how to build barns and how to build homes.
I don't disagree with any of that. I think that's quite right. I fear for anybody who thinks that we could have a community where everything could be worked out without regulation. I'm just not sure that that's possible in these particular cases. Another point is, you know, one of the reasons why I don't live in Keene, I did live in Keene when I first accepted, you know, my job here, and I lived in Keene for 2 years. But I don't because there's a lot of regulation that I don't like. You know, the taxes here are very expensive. It's a beautiful city. I'm happy to come here, and I'm happy to partake on what it offers. But for me to own a house in Keene, for me, is cost prohibitive. And there are just a lot of ordinances and things that I don't happen to agree with. So you know what? I live somewhere else.
Well, I can understand that, Richard, but I'm also, what I would submit is that some people want to live in Keene.
Sure.
And would like to live in Keene and try to change those regulations and the tax rate to something that is more acceptable to them. So I kind of have a problem when people suggest that, well, you should just move away. Plenty of people, you know, if people want to live in a community that has lower taxes and less regulation, they can try to pick one of those existing communities, or they can pick a community of their choice and try to change it through whatever process they think is most appropriate for that. And I think that's what people are trying to do here.
But if I want to live here just the way it is, if I say that I've always lived in Keene and I would like to live here just the way it is, what right do you have to come in and change it?
Every right, Cynthia. I mean, you have every right to do what you think is appropriate to try to keep the system, you know, the established order the way it is. And you can, yeah, I mean, you hold city government, you hold a seat in city government, and you're welcome to keep doing that. But I don't think just because you have a different opinion means that you can say, well, it's inappropriate for other people who want things to be different to express their opinion. And I think that's what a lot of these criticisms when people call in are. It's basically, I don't agree with what you have to say, so you should shut up. And that's not the way this works.
I agree with everything you've said, and especially the point where you should be able to rise to a level to affect change and change it. And that is our process. You're exactly right about that. If like Nick was here, and, you know, I'm not sure on where we are with Nick. I mean, you know, in one sense, I get the sense that he's going to run and try to affect change. In another sense, he's going to run but has absolutely no expectation that he will occupy the seat. And I submit that if you're going to affect positive change, rise to a level to affect change, garner the support from the constituency that's required, and do work for the greater good, and have them reelect you, and that's the way the process is. It, you know, there's nothing evil or wrong about it. It's just how it is.
Right.
I would agree.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. And
hi.
I know that you're almost getting off the station break.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple things I want to say and not really to discuss. Free staters are not peaceful. They're passive-aggressive. They're looking for trouble. Secondly, I'm not going to discuss things with my neighbor who's carrying a gun.
There you go.
It's unsafe. And thirdly, I think they have a right to demonstrate and hold all the signs they want, but if it's against the law to smoke marijuana, they should be arrested. I know we can't arrest all of them because the jail isn't big enough, but take away two a day and keep them there for a while. And I think we should decriminalize marijuana. But if something is the law, it should be enforced. Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Weekly chat session as Keene Area Liberty activists listen and call the show at chat.freekeene.com. That's chat.freekeene.com.
We are back on TalkBack. And we are back on TalkBack. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
And I'm Rick Van Wickler.
And we are here at 357-1290, and we will take any calls that you want us to take, and we'll try to deal with them as politely as we can.
I want to thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's been great, and I especially want to thank you for mentioning all the people lost lives in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Oh.
And because too often we take our eye off the ball there, and especially mentioning the number of people who are disabled. And if you've gone through an airport recently, and you see a lot of the disabled veterans going through, and it's pretty tragic. It's going to be very costly to these people and to our country for some time to come.
I started doing that, I don't know how many years ago, but 4 or 5 years ago. And I started doing it because I didn't think anyone was paying attention.
Exactly.
I just didn't know where could you see it.
Exactly.
So I decided to do that. And while my daughter was in Iraq, I kept doing it, but I kept thinking, oh, gosh,
yeah.
You know, if I ever have to, you know, say, and she's one of them, one of the wounded, what will happen? But 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the new prison that is going to be in Keene. And being a Keene resident, I get, like, sick and tired of some of the nonsense that goes around here. And I thought it would be a great idea if we just found something the Free State-type peoples were doing, and we could just stick them all in that jail, make them work for a living or something.
Rick doesn't look too happy about that.
Well, you know, our jail serves a specific purpose. And one of the things that I was hired to do and that I'm committed to do is to make sure that our correctional practice is done in the appropriate way. When this jail opens at the end of March, we'll have a facility that is consistent with correctional association standards, ADA standards, fire safety standards, and has a heavy emphasis on programmatic space. So all the things that we've wanted to do before but couldn't because of antiquated design, we will now be able to do. So any reason that the court deems to send somebody to our facility, they're going to be there, and our mission will be to try to prevent them from coming back and for the constituency to make sure that we don't have an environment that gives them an opportunity to litigate against us. And by the way, we've done a terrific job at that over the last several years.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello? Nobody there? They're gone. Okay. Well, then we'll talk among ourselves here some more. I think the biggest disappointment of the year, or of the week certainly, was that the fire station, we did not get the stimulus money that we had hoped to get.
Were there any reasons given as to why?
No. Very few were given in New England. I believe I was told Chelsea, Mass, and Londonderry each got a little over $1 million each.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any other in New England got them. So
interesting.
I don't know, but 357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I think this is a very interesting argument that's proceeding. These free staters are out-of-towners, and I think, therefore, that's why we disagree with them. A lot of people just don't like them because they're out of town. And I think the essence of conservatism, at least by the great theoretical conservative who started it, that line of thought, Edmund Burke, is that anyone who proposes a change needs to propose something that's better than what's going. And in other words, what's in effect. And if these people are just mindlessly criticizing the government of Keene and wherever the power lay in Keene for its own sake, the last caller said they were passive-aggressive, whatever the certainty of that phrase is, it's really up to them to show something better. If they have nothing better, then they should just drop it to keep their mouth shut. On the other hand, my own favorite argument, my own favorite comment of the 20th century was the 19th century was Lord Acton's famous remark, "Power corrupts, and absolute power tends." He started out by saying, "Power tends to corrupt." He didn't say power corrupts. He said, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." So that part of me is open to these free staters because they are challenging power, which, if not challenged, can go into monstrous directions. Now, I just want to give one example, and then I'll hang up. But I was listening at the news last night, and the Congress has defunded ACORN, that's a social group,
mm-hmm.
because they found out some of the right-wing hate crowd had put tape recorders and so forth in their meetings and found out they were paying for prostitutes and so forth. But the person who was announcing it also said that there's an outfit called Blackwater, and they're in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they have bribed and killed and maimed, and they had a show, a terrible show, where they had nude men running around and doing every kind of thing you could imagine. But nobody decided to defund them. Now, part of that is that Blackwater has a great deal of lobbyists behind it. Acorn has no lobbyists. So ungoverned power needs to be looked at and watched at, and people need to be skeptical about it on all occasions. Otherwise, you get an Acorn versus Blackwater outcome. So I want to say, listen, why are they complaining about my city? It says power, wherever it is lodged, must be guarded as carefully as possible, or otherwise it goes the way of Acorn versus Blackwater.
Hmm. Right.
Thanks very much.
All right. Good points. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to thank the city councilors and the city of Keene for being progressive, because a lot of people in the other sides of the state say, well, we're nothing but, we're them damn liberals. No, people in this part of the state are the progressives. And I have a question. I know the legislator, I watched Spin last night, Keene Knows Spin with Randy, and he had Dean Eaton on. And the majority of the people in the state...
I don't think he had Dean Eaton on. It might have been Dan Eaton.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan.
Dan
I'm
Eaton.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry, okay. I'm sorry. I
okay.
will accept the correction.
All right, thank you.
But I've been studying, you know, this thing about medical marijuana. Now, the majority of the people know, and it's been scientifically proven, that it definitely helps people that are dying from cancer, because I've seen it in my own family. Where my mother died of cancer, they put her on the chemotherapy, she loses all of her energy, has no appetite for anything. Well, as I've been studying, I've found out that yes, marijuana does give you an appetite, and yet people need energy, they need food to keep their bodies strong. Yet how can the governor, one man, veto such a bill that would help these people in their dying days? And I think it's absolutely deplorable that's the kind of, you know, I go back to my own thing, my thing I said last week, and the mayor said that, yes, many people are echoing my sentiments. Well, people are getting sick of the federal government, their incompetence, passing their problems to the state, then the state passes them down to us. And if people don't stand up, then why are people so afraid of the free staters? At least they're standing up, making some good points. And whatever happened to what Jesus says, love thy neighbor.
Right.
You know, why do people have to fight amongst themselves? No, because the government wants you to fight amongst yourselves, because that's how the government keeps control.
I don't think people are afraid of the free staters for the most part. I think they're annoyed by them.
Well, they shouldn't be annoyed. How many people have sat down and really talked with them? I've talked with a number of them, and I'll tell you point blank, a lot of them I don't agree with, and a lot of them I do. I don't point them out as, am I a free stater? Are you a free stater? What does our number plate say? Live free or die? I would assume we're all free staters.
I was the recipient of Hug a Law Enforcement Officer Day by the Free Staters, and enjoyed a nice couple of hugs from Meg. So, and I had some good conversations with some of the other folks, so... No, I'm not afraid of them at all.
I will say I have never talked with one-on-one. Now, I haven't talked with a lot of them.
I consider...
talked with them one-on-one when they have not been polite and nice.
That's right, and I consider several of them to be very, very intelligent people.
Right. And
extremely intelligent.
Sure.
The ones who were screaming obscenities. The ones who were screaming obscenities from that I was told about from the common... Mm. Are not the ones I talked to, I guess.
That's right.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, who's to say those are actually the people from the Free State
movement,
too? Well,
that's true. I just keep saying, if you were 18 years old and you could go to a place where you knew there was a whole people of would support you in doing whatever you darn well wanted to, wouldn't you move there right off quick? I would, when I was 18. But...
Well, I'd still like to see what the city of Keene is going to... I think I should stand up for this thing about medical marijuana, because it's a terrible, terrible thing. People are dying in their last few days, and it does help them. It does help build their body strength. I've been doing a lot of studying. People know about it, but yet we're going to let one governor say no? One person is saying no?
I believe it's coming back before the legislature, and... There's going to be a veto. They're going to try for a veto override. And I believe they feel they have it in the House. They don't know if they have it in the Senate.
Well, so. You know what? But then again, here's a man that's, you know, he's got millions of dollars, right? But how could you not care about your fellow man? It's not going to hurt. It's going to be prescribed by a doctor. It's not as if you can just go buy it over the counter. I mean, what is it? How can anybody of that stature, and I use that term loosely, be our governor?
I think he was concerned about the way it's going to be disseminated, dispensed.
Well, it's only going to have to be done by doctors. You can't just, like I said, you can't buy it over the shelf, and it's only going to be given to people that are in their last hours, so to speak.
I don't know. I just,
well,
that's just what I was told.
He
didn't tell me
that. I'm pretty perturbed about the situation.
Well, your passion is clear. And,
yeah. Well, that's the way it should be.
Yes, it is. And hopefully that you could channel that into some way to affect change.
Well, let me tell you, that's why I was at the Tea Party.
Uh-huh.
And I applaud all the people who were at the Tea Party last Saturday, because there was all kinds of people. There were police officers there. All people, there was no violence. Everyone said, you know, one nation under God. It was an absolutely phenomenal. I talked to a lot of military veterans. People from all ages, from their teens all the way into their 80s, all for one thing. We love this country, but we can't stand the corruption that's running the federal government.
God bless America.
That's right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi. Good morning. You know, I think that this medical marijuana is a wonderful thing. I'll just let you know right off the bat where I'm coming from. And I think the only way that people who think they know what the better decision is that they can make for other people. I can tell you, my wife suffers from migraines, and we've tried every single solitary thing there possibly is, and we found this strain of the fourth day. She was almost ready to blow her head off because the pain was so bad, and she finally smoked, and yes, we had to smoke it. We don't like to do it because we understand it's got benzene and other things that aren't great for you in it. But in 5 minutes, she was cured, and she was able to eat. She wasn't nauseous, and she wasn't vomiting. And you people who think you know better than anybody else who call in what to do with someone else's body, you are sick. And let me tell you.
Wait a minute. Are you talking to me?
Hold on. You cut me off before. You know, if you really want to have a talk show, let people talk. You know, you have this idea that you want to control, and the only reason you're going to let it go through is because if you can collect taxes on it. Let me tell you, I think, speaking of Jesus, do you think Jesus wants your health care? Do you think Jesus is for health care? Do you think Jesus is for stealing from your neighbor to pay somebody else's medical bills? I don't think so. Why don't you eat right, exercise, do some natural, you know, gardening, grow things, think positively, love your neighbor. Do good things for yourself, and you won't be sick. Learn what cancer really, truly comes from, and you're not going to be sick. You're not going to need medical coverage. And if you have medical bills that you can't pay, well, get your family involved. Get your neighborhood involved. Get your community involved. Stop policing your neighbors.
Whoops, we're out of time. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, it's Ian with FreeKeen.com.
Morning, Ian.
You're on from 7 to 10 tonight.
Yeah, oh there's no baseball
No baseball game.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. So, good morning. I just wanted to touch base here. I wish I'd been able to listen to more of the show this morning, but I've been doing other things. So I'll have to listen later on at freekeen.com when we put up the archives. But I heard something through the rumor mill about Rick talking about you know, hugging as being not a. But what were you saying earlier about hugging, Rick? I missed that.
Well, first of all, I'll start off by saying whatever rumor you heard doesn't sound to be very accurate,
right?
Which is fairly typical. I did say we were talking about the Free Staters. Somebody called in and said they don't know what's wrong with the Free Staters, and Cynthia and I said, well, we don't know what's wrong with them either. We're not afraid of them. I said, as a matter of fact, I've talked with a few of them. I consider some of them to be very intelligent people, and in one case, I was even the recipient of Hug a Law Enforcement Officer Day. And that's when I learned about that day.
It's all the time. It's the Keene Police Hugging Squad. So pretty much any time those of us on the squad see a police officer, we will offer them a hug.
So my point was I was the recipient of that one time. And the total point being that a lot of folks associated with the Free State Project are intelligent people who are trying to advance things in the way that they think is appropriate.
I don't know what your rumor said, but I don't know either.
That's what was going on here.
That's why I wanted to get it out there in the open and you know, have that conversation. So So then you appreciated the hugging squad then.
Well, if you remember, I don't know if it was you or Sam tried to hug me, and I asked if I could choose, and you let me pick Meg, for which I was very grateful. So
yes,
thank you. Thank
yes,
you for
I
that.
Know. I felt discriminated against, but it's okay. You get to choose who you give hugs to.
Well, so, that was fair.
So,
but you know,
is
I think
every day
that,
hug a police officer or hug a law enforcement
well, you know,
officer?
I think that one of the things that there's been this cannabis celebration going on downtown Keene for the past several days, and it's probably going to happen again today. And you know, the police have done the right thing. They have left folks alone. They haven't they haven't arrested any peaceful people. None of the folks that have been out in Central Square have been sent to your jail. Rick, at least, thank goodness that they've been behaving that way. And that's a very compassionate way to behave. And I think that if you want people to behave in a more compassionate way, you have to show them compassion. And I can understand why people are angry at the police, why, you know, they were maybe getting a few angry shouts from some of the people in that crowd. And as you know, when you've got a crowd of people, you certainly can't control everybody and what they're going to do. But you can make suggestions and you can, you know, tell them logical things that make sense. And, you know, it makes sense to be forgiving toward the police. They've done wrong. They've hurt peaceful people. They've put them in cages. They've extracted money from them over time. And these are peaceful people who haven't harmed anyone else. And Rick, you're very familiar, I'm sure, with the 1.5 million people around the country who are arrested on a yearly basis for simple possession, mostly, of various different substances. Most of them are for possession of cannabis, which is about 800,000 of that 1.5.
Actually, I have the exact statistic here, Ian. For 2005, was 1.8 million arrests for drug abuse violations.
Wow.
42.6%. Of those arrests were for marijuana, and over 500,000 of those were for possession alone.
It's so sad. And these are people who are, they have families. I was reading some of the news articles that were being written about the cannabis celebrations in the Sentinel, the Union Leader, and there's a lot of comments from some very vitriolic, very angry people saying things like, well, you bunch of losers, why don't you get jobs? And, you know, just really being mean towards people that recreationally choose to use cannabis as opposed to perhaps something else like alcohol. And they're being very, very nasty, as though, for instance, everyone works from 9 to 5, which is, of course, ludicrous.
Well, you know, can I get something in here, Ian?
Sure.
You brought in an important thing that's just causing me to think a little bit, because this morning's discussions and talking with the Free Staters about not having regulations. And so you're an organization, I guess, that prides itself in not having any of these regulations. And then here this morning you say you can't control what everybody does, and, you know, whether they holler out obscenities or things like that. And I know that there were things done out at the jail that are things that you probably wouldn't have approved of, and a few other people wouldn't, like spitting on cruisers and making obscene gestures in cameras. So it's interesting that you've got an agency that doesn't regulate itself or its the behavior of the participants in there, but yet you also say, and I think realize, that your cause could be much further advanced, much more maturely, professionally, and effectively if you didn't have these people doing these things. Isn't that right?
First of all, there's no agency. I see where you're coming from. There's no agency. There's no organization. There are just individuals who decide to go and do something, and other individuals choose to join them. Nobody's in charge necessarily of anyone else. But as far as dealing with unruly people, there are ways to handle those things.
Mm-hmm.
You take them aside, you have conversations with them, you can ostracize them, you can, tell them that you would appreciate if they not come back.
And then
of course, if you're on private property, then you have total control.
And if you don't have rules and regulations, you could then shoot them.
I don't know about shooting people.
Right?
But
why not?
Look, Rick, I want to make something clear. I'm all in favor of rules. Yeah. I think there's a misconception about liberty activists that suggest that they don't want rules. And there may be a handful of them that, you know, don't want any rules whatsoever. But I think the majority of us are very interested in having rules and having private property so you can set whatever rules that you want to on it. But I want to get back real quick to the issue of being angry at the
real
police.
Real quick, because we've got to take another call.
Like you're saying with this. Hmm?
I said real quick because we got to take another call.
Okay, quick. You mentioned the spitting on the cruisers, and I agree with you. That's certainly not appropriate. But I also understand why people are angry. It's pretty upsetting when you've got your friends and neighbors and family members being thrown in prison cells for not harming anybody else. But that's
so spitting on the cruiser advances what?
Oh, I don't think it's a good idea at all. But that's why I tell people that we should be forgiving and understanding and loving and compassionate toward the government people, so they hopefully will come around to understanding that allowing people to be free is the only way that they can have freedom themselves. Thank you, folks.
Okay, thanks, Ian.
See you later.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And your guest. I'm not sure who it is. But
good morning. It's Rick.
Good morning, Rick. I've been following this for probably 3 or 4 days since this thing's been going on with the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's paper, they say now that some guy was there from a Rhode Island-based company selling marijuana-themed apparel.
Right.
Cram's Weed Wears.
Cram's Weed Wears.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah. He's selling hats and, I guess, with different stuff on it. I don't know, different clothes to the people there that... now the people are smoking marijuana. It just seems to me like we're getting a carnival thing going on in Keene, which we don't really want. And I think they ought to be enforced.
Somebody's
smoking marijuana until they're changed.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's parking violation or speeding or whatever it is.
Right.
Otherwise, let's just pass everybody on it. Go whatever speed you want down through the center of town. And also, my question is why can't the state police come over and enforce it? If you guys aren't willing to do it, which evidently you got the word they're not, then I would be in favor. I'll call the state police and talk to them over there and say, you send somebody over, because if they make a traffic stop and you got marijuana, you're smoking marijuana, they're certainly going to arrest you and write you up. So if not the Keene police, then why not have the state police do it if there's some... not willing or getting the word from the government there not to do it.
I have no idea how that works.
I really think
that
they are smoking and they are doing it, then the time now is to clean them up before this gets any worse.
Okay.
And it's not looking good for the city, because it's all over, never mind the state, it's all over the country now.
Huh.
This is going on at the square and just seems like we're just allowing it.
Well, that, I don't know. I'll ask what can if that's possible, but we don't know. Thank you for calling. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. Who was at the bottom of the hour screaming about how angry people get cancer?
Oh, I don't know.
He's very angrily yelling about angry people.
He said if you live right, if you live right, eat right, exercise, you won't get cancer, which
I don't know that he was
certainly
as much,
misinformation. But
I don't know that he was as much angry as he was just very passionate about the topic because it impacted his wife in the way that it did.
I see. Yeah, I just was wondering what medical science he could point to that would back up that assertion.
Right.
But, you know, one trope that you hear a lot is that... free Keeners are actually really intelligent, and I think I'd like to take a little bit more of a nuanced view here, which is that I think it's not so much that they're super bright in the sense that, it's not like a lot of these folks came here with vast previous accomplishments, running successful businesses or sterling academic credentials or anything like that. It's just they're not as stupid as the stereotype that some people might have of them. You know, so it's like if they can actually put together a few sentences, then it's, oh, wow, they're really bright. I mean, it reminds me of, like, I'm a Red Sox fan, and one thing that I find amusing is there's this chat board called the Sons of Sam Horn. And during games, Red Sox fans sort of communicate with each other. Now, and a lot of times the repartee is pretty witty. It's pretty funny. And he was occasionally insightful, but it's not intelligent per se, because, you know, all these people are waxing eloquent about, you know, what sort of managerial move they might make in the given game. But it's all peanut gallery stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what free Keeners are about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, the culture of complaint, let's say it's really easy to complain. It's really easy to pick on what's wrong and to to see the block that is a little bit askew. But when it comes down to actually grappling with the difficult problems and making choices, that's where the gray matter is engaged. That's where your brain gets engaged, and that's what's difficult. So I think it's a little bit, I think you're letting them off the hook by necessarily ascribing to them a whole lot of intelligence, because I haven't heard much in terms of intelligent solutions being offered.
Yeah, well, I think it's up to the frame of reference of the
right.
person that hears the word to determine how much of that you give to it. Perhaps the word is articulate or whatever to better describe what you're trying to say.
Yeah, but, it is articulate, I think. Yeah.
They certainly make up. There's quite a blend of folks in there from every end of the spectrum, based on my observations. So.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for somebody to get their hands dirty and really move the ball forward in terms of enacting actual changes that affect the actual lives of actual people. But I don't think that's what they're about. I think this is about attention getting. I think it's peanut gallery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, let you go.
You make a good point, and you support it. So, good point.
Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello.
Today's got to be one of the best shows I've ever heard. I got to tell you, you guys did a really good job today.
Thank
and a lot of your callers made a lot of great points, which I agreed with. But there's something that I think is being missed, and I think there's a lot of approaches that are coming off as antagonistic. And to me, it's not about antagonizing, sides. It's not about that. I think it's, which way do we want to move? Like, I have a baby. I have a one-year-old daughter, and I would like to see a much better world for her than what I had.
Good for you.
Tell you is, I like competition. I love technology, and I think competition is good because with people more people competing, you get better products.
Right.
I'm always going to want police service. What I would like to see is the police work on a. We can have competing police, policing ways, and people can set up different policing type services, and figure out which one people want. And then people will buy into those just like they buy into anything else that they think is good. And I would love to see that happen.
Mm. Well, I have a lot of arguments for that, but it's probably not time to go into them today. But that's...
Maybe we'll talk about it more in detail next week, because I think it's something that's very interesting to start, kind of thinking about.
Right.
I think it's a great topic, and I'd love to be a part of it. I agree with you, and I also think that that a shift in paradigm in this country is occurring, my personal opinion.
Yep, I think we're on the same boat in that case. I think, Rich, I like hearing you on the show. I hope you come back a lot more.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, Rick. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. And early on, when Nick Ryder was here, he was talking about gated communities. The problem with gated communities is they serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hate to see my city become a community of gated communities,
right,
where this community had had over here, and this one was over here, and little communities mm-hmm. within the community. I
sure.
just think that would not serve a really good purpose.
It would look like Florida.
Well, I guess. And, then there'd be concerns about, which one is going to get the most taxes?
That's right.
And, would we be making things to these people? So I don't know. But mm-hmm. that's, it's been very interesting today. So.
Mm-hmm.